scripture text is taken from Daniel chapter 9. Let us turn to the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. And let me read for you from verses 24 right through to verse 27. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 right through to verse 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Israel in prophecy. If you read the Bible, you will not fail to read about Israel. And Israel is not only in the Bible, in prophecy, Israel is also very much in the news. Israel is in the news today. There is war in Israel, no peace. Israel is desperately looking for peace, but finds it in vain. And we are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem also. We will continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But we also know from the scriptures that no peace will come until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, returns to bring peace, lasting peace, on this earth for 1,000 years. And please understand this, that Israel is still God's chosen nation. God had made a covenant with Israel. And when God makes a covenant with his people and makes all his promises to his people, the nation of Israel, know that God will and must keep his promises. Our God is a truthful God. Our God is a faithful God. When he makes his promises, he cannot break his promises. He will not break his promises. That is against his nature. Many a time we make promises and we break the promises. How many a married couple have vowed to be faithful and true to each other until death us do part? But many have broken their promises, their vows, have they not? The promises made by God to his people, take note, is made by God himself. And God is powerful. God is truthful. God is faithful. And he will preserve and keep the promises he made to his people Israel, to the Jews, promises relating to the race, to the Jewish people themselves, to the land, to the temple, to the throne, and the nation at large. God cannot break or withdraw any of the covenant promises he had made to Israel. We have just read Psalm 89. In Psalm 89 verse 3, we have read, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And then verses 34 to 37, we read, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. So please don't think that God is done with Israel. There are those who think that since Israel, the Jews, had crucified their Messiah, God has cast away Israel and disowned Israel. Israel is no longer God's chosen or God's chosen nation. Nothing can be further from the truth. Israel is still very much God's chosen nation, as he had promised. And the Apostle Paul himself would have us know that God is not unfaithful, but will keep his promises to Israel. Israel shall be saved. And we know this from Romans chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Let me read to you this passage. Paul said, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And then in verse 25 and 26 of Romans chapter 11, we read this. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. So right now Israel is in blindness. It is true. God is dealing with Israel, chastising Israel, disciplining Israel. Israel is going through a whole lot of suffering. No peace in Israel. But one day Messiah will return, the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and the eyes of the Jews will be opened, and they will acknowledge and confess Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, their Messiah. They will bow their knees to him, the same one whom they had crucified. God will keep his promise. And the fact that Israel today continues to exist, the fact that Israel today is alive and strong, proves the promises of God to be true. That the prophecies that God had made will and must find fulfillment. You know, there were stronger nations and greater nations than the Israelites in the past. Nations like the Hittites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and they have all gone extinct. No more. But Israel continues and remains till today. And this is one external evidence that the Bible is true. The God of the Bible is true. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is true, the only living and true God, no other gods. And that Israel is today back in their land of promise. After years of diasporas, of scattering and dispersion and persecution, are now back in their land. It's the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel. If you read Isaiah 11, 11 and 12. And because God has preserved Israel, we can also be very sure that God will preserve us, those of us who believe on Him, who are Christians. We who have committed ourselves and trusted ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. And He promised us eternal life. He will keep His promise. And we will arrive at our final destination. We will get to heaven for sure. As much as He has preserved Israel, He will preserve us to the very end. Only we must be faithful to Him. He will be faithful to us regardless, but we must respond by being faithful to Him. Of course, in times when we stray away from the Lord will not disown us, the Lord will not cast us away, but the Lord, like a loving father, will chastise us. And His caning can be painful, but it's good for us to draw us back to Himself. Our pastor, Reverend Toh, always describes the caning of the Lord. He uses His rod, but the rod, the cane, is a sugar cane. Yes, it may be painful, but it has a good result. And if the Lord is chastening you right now, well, please submit to His discipline. Repent of your sin. Don't backslide from Him. Return unto the Lord. And then you will be very happy in the Lord. So Israel is still very much God's chosen and covenant nation. And God still has a plan for Israel. So the question is, what is going to happen to Israel in the future? You don't have to wait for the newspapers to report. The Holy Scriptures will tell you what will happen in the future. And Israel one day will face a whole lot of trouble, but then there will be deliverance at the end when the Lord Jesus returns. And this is taught to us in this passage that we have just read in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to verse 27. And it concerns the future of Israel. And the future of Israel involves two periods, two princes, and two peoples, or two groups of people. Firstly, the two periods. Now in Daniel chapter 9, 24, we read, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Thy people here refers to the Jews, all right? Not the Gentiles. We are Gentiles, non-Jews. Here, Daniel was writing to the Jews in exile, in Babylon. God punishing them for their sins and for their idolatry, but now they have been purged and cleansed. And the Lord is preparing them to go back to the promised land. They will be released in the days of Cyrus, and they will rebuild the walls and the temples. They will return to the promised land. So the people here, thy people, refers to the Jews, and thy holy city refers to Jerusalem. Okay. And here we are told there are 70 weeks. Now, prophetically speaking, these 70 weeks are weeks of years. Take note of this. They are weeks of years, not weeks of days. Okay? They are weeks of years. In the Hebrew, literally, it is 77s. Right? The 70 weeks, literally translated, is 77s, or 70 times 7. And so 70 times 7 would be 490 years, right? 490 years. God, when He gives a prophecy, is very precise, very specific. God does not speak in general terms. And here when He talks about the future of Israel, He says there'll be 490 years, right? And these 490 years are basically divided into two periods. And the dividing point is the cutting off of the Messiah. Right? We read of the cutting off of the Messiah in verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. soon the Jews will be released from captivity, and this will happen in the days of Nehemiah, and they will return, all right, to the promised land, and then they will rebuild the walls. Know therefore, understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem and the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And here the cutting off of the Messiah refers to his coming, his first coming, and his crucifixion, and his resurrection. The redemptive mission of Christ on earth will be altogether, all right, 69 weeks. It takes 69 weeks for all these things to happen. The decree to return to Palestine to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem until the time the Messiah is cut off, a total of 69 weeks. 7 times 7 plus 62 times 7. 62 weeks. All right. So 7 times 7 equals 49 years. And then 62 times 7 equals 434 years. So altogether 483 years. Right? From the time the commandment is issued, go back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem until the time Christ is crucified and until the time he completes his redemptive mission will be 483 years. 69 weeks, okay? Now, this period has already gone by, passed already, fulfilled. Okay? Truly, Israel returned to the land, the walls were rebuilt, the temple was also rebuilt, Messiah had already come. This is a historical fact. Nobody denies that Jesus had existed in the past 2,000 years ago. Even our secular history books, when I was in primary 4, I learned in history, in my history book, about Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He was born. And even our calendar, our years, are based on the fact of Jesus' first coming before Christ and AD in the year of the Lord. So this is already past, all right? The 69 weeks are over, these 483 years. But then there's another period, the second period, which is yet future. And this is the final week, the 70th week. So what remains now is the final week of 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel. And we read of this final week in verse 27. It says here, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." So take note, the 1 week is a week of years, 7 years, all right? "And in the midst of the week," that is at the halfway mark, at a 3.5 year point, "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Now, here, Daniel's 70th week is a time of great tribulation. And this 70th week was commented on by the Lord. The Lord mentioned the 70th week and called it a time of great tribulation in the Gospel of Matthew 24. Let me read to you Matthew 24, verses 15 to 21. This was what the Lord Jesus Christ said, commenting on the prophecy of Daniel. He said in Matthew 24, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." And I submit to you in the light of scriptures that the abomination of desolation is none other than the Antichrist. Abomination is something that God hates. And when man sets himself up as God and demands worship from the world, something that rightfully belongs only to God, it is abomination, something that God hates. "And when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, Whoso readeth, let him understand, and may the Spirit give you understanding. Then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountains, because tribulation, persecution, suffering is coming. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So the days of earth will not get better and better, but will get from bad to worse. And it will climax in this 7-year great tribulation period that the world must go through, even Israel. Okay? It's the last week of Daniel, 70th week. Now, this period of time, the great tribulation, the prophet Jeremiah calls the time of Jacob's trouble. All right? Now, in Jeremiah 30, verse 1 to 7, we read this. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I've spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Well, this is already fulfilled. Israel is now back in the land, regathered already into the land, and they dwell securely. And Israel can no longer be uprooted from the land. Israel is now waiting for the coming of Christ, all right, to deliver them. And then Jeremiah went on to say, And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, time of great tribulation. And then Jeremiah says, It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble. Jacob is who? Jacob is Israel, right? So it's a time of Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. God will deliver Israel from out of this great trouble that he will face. Do you believe the prophecy? God's prophecy is always true. As much as all the first coming prophecies came true, we know that all the second coming prophecies of the Lord will come true also. So we better take heed. Last week we heard a message, we are children of light. Why? Because we have the scriptures. A lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. And the Bible speaks of future events so that we might know what will happen to be ready when the Lord returns and not be caught unawares, so that we will also warn others of the dangers ahead, of troublous times to come, so that people will make peace with God and escape from the wrath to come. Terrible, terrible time ahead. It is no joke, dear friends. Now this final week, the last 7 years of the present world's history, which will end in a very, very troublous time with great tribulation, there will be two important figures, two important persons, two princes Daniel describes. One is good and the other is bad, is evil. Right, so there are two periods. One has already passed. The next will be coming, the final 7 years, the final week, the 70th week. And then in the 70th week, there are two princes. Who are they? Well, Daniel 9:25 tells us of the first prince. The first prince is a good one, a good and holy prince who is called the Messiah. Right, in Daniel 9:25, we read here, Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince. Right? Unto the Messiah, the Prince, the Messiah. The Messiah is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the anointed prince, the anointed one. The word Messiah from the Hebrew Mashiach is where we get the Greek equivalent Christos, the Christ, simply means the anointed. He is the anointed one with a capital A. And here, the prince, as he is described by Daniel, is with a capital P. Now, this is a very good translation of the word here, with a capital P, because it's no ordinary prince. He is a divine prince, God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a capital P, all right? And he's unique. No one like him. He is the only one. And all of us must kowtow to him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the anointed prophet, priest, and king. And he will come to save the world from sin, to restore the nation of Israel to greatness. And this will happen when Jesus comes back the second time. Okay? So here you have the Messianic Prince with a capital P. But before Jesus Christ, the Messianic Prince, returns, there must arise another prince. This prince is no good. This prince is bad. He is evil. He is wicked. And here we read of him in verses 26 and 27. And the people of the prince, you see in verse 26, the people of the prince, and here the prince is translated, again, a very accurate translation of the original. It's not with a capital P. Take note, it is now with a small p. This prince is a different one, not the messianic prince, but a counterfeit prince, a false prince, a false messiah, the antichrist. And the people of the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. He has evil intentions. He wants to destroy the holy city. He wants to destroy Jerusalem. He wants to destroy the nation of Israel, God's chosen nation. The messianic prince will come to save, but this prince is seeking to destroy. It's a false prince, right? An evil one, the antichrist, who will come in the last day. So take note of this. And the Bible says that he will come out of a revived Roman Empire, the iron and clay empire that is spoken of in Daniel chapter 2, verse 42 and 44. And this one world ruler in the future, the Antichrist, will be highly regarded by the world. He will be very respected, and in time they would bow to him, to worship him. But he will be able, this Antichrist will be able to bring peace to Israel, but only for a short time. It's a false peace, a temporary peace. Christ, when he returns, he will bring permanent peace, perpetual peace. But this false prince, he will promise peace, he will bring about peace, but it's a short-term peace. Right? We know this from what is stated in verse 27, where it says here, and he shall confirm, this prince shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So he will be able to sign a peace treaty with the Jews, with Israel. He will confirm the covenant, this peace treaty, with many, with the Jews, with Israel, for 1 week. When this peace treaty is contracted, it will commence the 7-year Great Tribulation period. All right. And then it says here that in the midst of the week, he, that is the false prince, shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. For 3.5 years there will be peace in Israel. The Jews will be able to worship freely. Some people even say that the temple will be rebuilt, and the Jews will be able to worship in their own rebuilt temple. Well, it remains to be seen whether this will happen or not. Even if the temple is not rebuilt, the Jews can also worship in the great synagogue, right? But nonetheless, in the middle of in the middle of the week, at the 3.5 year point, as stated here, in the midst of the week, in the middle of 7 years, he shall break his peace covenant. And he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. He will stop Israel from worshipping their God. He will desecrate the temple. And he will set himself up as God and demand not only Israel, but the rest of the world to worship him and his image. Okay? And that's why it's an abomination. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, even until the end of the 7 years. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Judgment will come. And God himself, in the Lord Jesus Christ, will destroy the Antichrist and all his enemies, and to save and deliver Israel. So take note of this. And of course, that will happen. And the final war that will end all wars will be the battle, the war of Armageddon, which we read of in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, 16, and chapter 19, verse 11 to 21. So there will be these two princes. But before the true messianic prince will come, there'll be a counterfeit prince, the Antichrist. Is he coming up? Is the stage of the world set for his coming? I think so. The world is talking about globalization. There'll be a one world government for sure. God had already prophesied this in his word. One world government, one world economy, right? One world religion, of course, a false religion, and how we must remain true to the Lord and separate ourselves from all unbelief and apostasy. And if we don't keep our guard up, we may just be swept away. So may the Lord help us not to be swept away in these last days. So there'll be these two princes. And make sure you're on the right side, not on the side of the false prince, but on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, the messianic prince. Now, when the end comes, we know that there'll be two peoples or two groups of people. Make sure you belong to the right group again. The battle of Armageddon that will be fought in the future will involve two groups of people. Believers and unbelievers, right? And of course, the believers and unbelievers will be under two different leaders, the Christ and the Antichrist. Make sure we are on the right side. And the believers can also be divided into two groups. They are the church and Israel, okay? The church comprises all who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ at this age of grace. This church age, when many Gentiles are born into God's kingdom by believing in the good news of Jesus Christ. And so right now, God is very patient. God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. That's why the final week has not arrived. God has waited for the last 2,000 years. Why? Because he wants people to repent. He does not take a delight in the destruction of the wicked. And so the gospel, since the very first day of Pentecost, has been preached. It continues to be preached today. It has gone to all the world. And the call is still being issued. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Repent right now. If you don't repent and confess and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, destruction awaits you. That's for sure, for certain. No running away. The wrath of God is upon all who will reject and refuse him. Make peace with God. Only way is by faith, not works. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And belong to the side of the good prince, the messianic prince who is your savior. And not on the evil prince that will come in the future. So the church will be, so during this time, the church will be saved. The church will not go through the great tribulation period. In fact, when the 7-year tribulation period commences, we know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the church, the believers, the saints right now will be raptured. Those who have died, who have passed away, who have died in Christ, their graves will be opened and they'll be raised up on that day when the Lord comes in the air, right? And we who are still alive and remain will be suddenly caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We call this the rapture. And it can happen at any moment, at any time. Better make sure that when it happens, all of us will disappear, right? Those of us who are still alive here, disappear, and suddenly in a twinkling of an eye, caught up to meet the Lord in the air with our glorified bodies. So the church, which is mainly Gentile, many Gentiles are being saved and now become members of the church. Of course, they are also Jews. These are Messianic Jews. But the majority in the church, they are Gentiles. The Gentiles, and the age, the time of the Gentiles will end. And in the fullness, when the fullness of the Gentiles become in, Paul says, then Israel, all Israel shall be saved. Then God will deal with Israel. After God deals with the church, God will deal with Israel. So the second group of believers would be Israel. There will be a remnant in Israel. In the book of Revelation, we read of the 144,000 from the tribes of Israel. 144,000 from 12 tribes. These are Israelites. And they will go through the tribulation. God will put a seal on them, and they shall be protected, they shall be preserved, and they shall be servants of God at that time. They will preach the gospel. When the church is no longer here on earth, the gospel will still be preached. The judgment to come will be preached, and it will be preached by these 144,000. You can read of that in Revelation chapter 7. So God will preserve a remnant in Israel. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, the second group of people in the tribulation period would be the unbelievers. And the unbelievers are those who have refused and rejected the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, who are bent on rebelling against him. They despise the commandments of God. They despise the word of God. They scoff at the gospel and of any warning of judgment to come. And they will bear the mark of the beast. The Antichrist will cause all unbelievers to have his mark. Revelation 13 tells us, and his mark is the number 666. In your right hand or on your foreheads. And with this number, and with only this number, you can transact. You can buy and sell. You want to subsist and survive on this earth, you need this number. All right? And you will have to worship him. So the unbelieving will follow the Antichrist. And they will follow the Antichrist to war against the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Daniel 9:26 says, and the people of the prince shall come, that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So at the end of the 7-year great tribulation period, this war that will end all wars will be fought. War of Armageddon. And the Antichrist and his armies will array themselves, right, in Israel itself. The Battle of Armageddon is fought in Har Megiddo. That's in Israel today. Those of you who have been to the Holy Land would have seen this place. The plain, the valley, the plain of Jezreel has a beginning point and will stretch right down to the Gulf of Eilat. Right? That will be the whole bloody battlefield to come. And the Antichrist and the army shall array themselves to fight against the Christ. Christ will come down to earth with his saints, and the Lord Jesus Christ will fight this war that would end all wars. And you can be very sure Jesus Christ does not need any missile or any, you know, bombs or machine gun or grenades. Jesus only used one weapon, which is an all-powerful weapon. The words that come out of his mouth, the same powerful word that created the whole universe. He commanded and they were created. The same word from his mouth can destroy all his enemies, even the world. And the saints that come down with him, we who come down with Christ at that time, don't worry, you don't have to fire away. We come down with Christ to witness the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in Revelation 19, verse 15 and verse 20, let me read for you. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And the beast here is the Antichrist. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Judgment is coming. And the result of this battle is sure already announced ahead of time. Christ will win. No one can fight against God and win. So there'll be these two periods. There are these two periods. One has passed, the other is still future. Will come, and I believe will come soon in the light of Scripture. There are two princes. Make sure you're on the right side and not on the wrong side. That you belong to the messianic prince, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not the counterfeit prince, the Antichrist, that will come. There'll be two peoples. Make sure you belong to the right group. A group of believers, not unbelievers. Make peace with God, and you will not come under his wrath that will be poured out in the great tribulation period. So which side are you on? Make sure you're on the winning side, and we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And how we thank the Lord that as much as God has preserved the nation of Israel all these years, we know that God will preserve our faith, our salvation, the life he has given to us unto the very end, because we know that his words are true. God has not only inspired his words, but also he is very powerful to preserve his words even till now, that every word of prophecy we have can live by the words of prophecy and know for sure we have the very words of God today without any corruption, without any loss, without any mistake. And that's why we want to hold firm and hold fast to the word of life, the words of everlasting life. And may we spread this good news to the glory of God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank thee for thy precious words of prophecy, and how we know that thy words are very authoritative because they are authentic. We thank thee for the assurance that we have thy inspired and preserved words. Many Bibles out there that claim to be your word, but they seek to confuse and corrupt. But we thank thee that you have preserved thy words that are pure and true, that we may find light and understanding in the fullness of all thy words. Only help us to be obedient and faithful unto thee till the very end. Cleanse us, Lord, from all our sins. Help us in our faith that we will be men and women of great faith and not of little faith. And as we prepare ourselves to partake of the bread and cup, may you pour out a special blessing on us. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.